There are two questions, and I'm sure you know them by heart now. The only acceptable answer to both is yes. You must mean it, and you must adhere to that oath for the rest of your lives. The essential challenge that we're trying to overcome is that some of you still harbor dumbass notions of who the bad guys are. The video you're about to see should put paid to that notion. In case it doesn't, you'll be pleased to know it's the first in a series that will continue throughout your training. You hear a lot about the Mescalero insurgency. Most of what you hear is filtered through sympathetic media outlets. The poor Indians are having their culture squashed. Magic is their birthright. It's the big bad white man oppressing them all over again. What you don't see is what these bastards do to their own.
The screen flickered to life, showing a clip of Apache selfers, stripped to the waist and brightly painted, gathering a string of other Apaches, mostly old men, into a line. Their mouths moved silently, screaming. The men were forced to their knees, their hands bound. Britain could make out a few women among them.
You can guess what's gonna happen. You should know that the crime these people committed was collaborating with the enemy. That's us. That's the United States government. It's every American.
One of the selfers stepped forward, sweeping his hands upward. Scorpions boiled out of the sandy earth around the prisoners, enveloping half the line. They covered the prisoners until no flesh could be seen, only a surging mass of the stinging arthropods. They scattered at a gesture from the selfer, leaving a pile of discolored, swollen bodies, some still twitching in their death throes.
Oh, it gets better.
One of the selfers gestured to something off-screen. The screen flickered as something black leapt into view, vaguely man-shaped and impossibly fast. It gibbered, slavering among the remaining prisoners, who leapt to their feet and tried to flee. One of the selfers conjured a wind that blew them back into the black creature's path. Britain saw flying gore. He imagined the screams in his ears, despite the film's silence. The thing spun long enough for Britain to make out teeth as long as daggers before the video cut out. Britain shivered. He remembered a very similar creature dancing through the goblin ranks as he'd flown in a helicopter toward the Fob Frontier when he first arrived in the source. If that thing was an ally of the goblins, then what the hell was it doing among the Mescalero?
The Mescalero call them their mountain gods. We call them monsters. We're pretty sure they come from here, and we're still trying to work out how the Apache got a hold of them. Eventually, that's what you're gonna be fighting. That's the alternative to what you are. Remember that.
It's all bullshit.
Swift spoke to Britain as they headed outside toward the flat expanse on the other side of the blast barricades from the Quonset huts, where the Sass enrollees made their homes.
That's only one side of the story. Who knows what they're not showing us?
Yeah, right. You saw what they did.
Tapes can be faked. I don't understand what your sudden loyalty to the SOC is about. Presumably you were a selfer at some point yourself, or else you wouldn't be here.
I changed my mind. I can do that.
She's young.
Shut up! I'm old enough to know right from wrong.
Most folks far older than you don't know that.
What kind of name is Swift, anyway?
His name is Andrew. Everybody in the No-No crew makes up their own names. It's ridiculous.
Our real names died when they kidnapped us. The SOC give themselves call signs. So do we.
You're still who you are. Why would you want to be more like them anyway? It doesn't make any sense.
My Mother Teresa. Is your Christian charity waning?
My name is Therese Delacroix.
Andrew, huh? That's a nice name.
Fuck you. If you and your teenage girlfriend here are happy being lapdogs for the SOC, that's your call. But you're not going to get any slack from me.
Who the hell said I'm happy working for them?
You're wearing the uniform.
As if I had a fucking choice.
You always have a choice. If they didn't drag you in here kicking and screaming, then you're fucking cooperating.
Easy. Salamander's watching.
Seriously, calm the fuck down, dude.
Don't waste your time. He's totally sold on the futility angle. The only thing to do now is pray for him.
Listen, you little...
Swift began to walk around Britain, reaching for Therese. Britain stepped sideways to intercept him. Swift's eyes flickered to him momentarily, seeing him only as an obstacle. Britain read the anger there and knew the man was not in control. That was fine. Out of control meant no real threat. Britain's anger was cold and disciplined. Skill beat will every time. Pyre backpedaled as Swift punched at Britain. Swift reversed his swing, dragging his nails across Britain's face. Suddenly, Major Salamander drove in between them, pinning Swift's arms behind him and dragging him backward.
Now
Now that's not very welcoming to our new friends, is it? And I guess you need some time in the hole to teach you manners.
Come on, man! I didn't even hurt him, it was just a little scuffle. You don't need to put me in there with her!
What's wrong? She's suppressed! And I thought you were all on the same side!
Swift struggled briefly in Salamander's grip before relaxing.
You know what she's like! Please!
Sorry. No sale.
Salamander pushed Swift toward a pair of approaching soldiers.
Maybe some quality time with a fair lady will cure you of your bullshit. Enjoy.
The soldiers took custody of Swift and began walking him slowly toward the pillbox. Britton felt wetness trickling down his cheek and raised his hand to dab at the wounds.
You're bleeding.
You are. You have to forgive him. Nobody knows exactly what happened to him, but some say the sock killed his girlfriend bringing him in.
I heard his wife. He doesn't talk about it. Nice going.
The pain of the scratches vanished, and Britton could feel the skin on his cheek knitting underneath Teresa's touch.
You're a healer.
A healer using her magic in unauthorized conditions. Come on, Therese. You know better. That's a point for you.
Suppress me. Throw me in the hole with Scylla. I don't care.
Salamander raised a hand, but Therese's work was done. She stepped away from Britton, leaving him rubbing his smooth cheek and longing for the warmth of her hand again. Salamander shook his head and motioned them starkly toward the open ground, where most of the sass enrollees were lining up in front of a female sock captain, her long black hair and a businesslike bun on the back of her head. 5 sock suppressors milled loosely behind her, submachine guns slung across their chests. Behind them, Britton could see the steel door in the cinder block bunkhouse slam shut behind Swift.
You don't have to do that. It was just a scratch.
It's for his own good. Swift's got a history here, novice. Escape attempts, violence against guards and fellow SAS enrollees. If we don't break that spirit of his, command might decide he's not worth the trouble.
And then what? Would they kill him?
It won't come to that. They always cooperate in the end.
What's gonna happen to him in there?
You ask a lot of questions, novice, and I've been very patient with you thus far. Swift is being rehabilitated. Now my patience is beginning to wear thin, and you need to stop talking and start listening. All right, listen up. It's been an interesting morning that's put me out of the mood in which I patiently tolerate your bullshit. This is your morning magical control class. Some of you have some notion of control. The rest of you are only prevented from having dangerous magical discharges by virtue of the dampener running in your veins. We're going to fix that issue. Dampener and the regimented nature of sock training will impair the raw emotional outpouring and check your power. But it has been the sock's experience that cold discipline is ever the master of wild emotion. It is our mantra, and one you will take to heart. Safe and controlled. Selfers may make great displays of powerful magic, but the reason they cannot stand against us is because they don't know the meaning of those two words. It is the same reason why the goblins lack the ability to truly affect this outpost. Given the choice between power and control, a sock sorcerer chooses control. Remember, skill beats will, every time. We're going to talk about the two fundamentals of safe, controlled magic use. These are drawing and binding. Before we talk about these, I want to reiterate what I just said. Safe and controlled. Remember it. Learn it. Live it. First question. How do we stay safe and controlled? Anybody?
Salamander turned to the female sock captain beside him.
Captain Stormspinner.
Come on, people. In case you didn't notice, there's a giant fucking fence all around you. It's not like you can go anywhere. We own you for the nonce, and the only way out of here is attached to that flagpole. Demonstrating control of your magical abilities is the first step to making it there.
Finally, one of the novices shot her hand up.
By obeying orders?
That's right. You have to stick to the rules. They may seem constraining at first. Magic is a wild and tempting thing, but it can only be manipulated to effective use under safe and controlled conditions. The rules have been laid down by more experienced soldiers who have gone before you. Respect them, and respect this power you are lucky enough to possess, okay?
Yes, ma'am!
An overachiever, but I like your enthusiasm. Good. All right, here we go. Drawing and binding. There are two things that every sorcerer must be able to do to manipulate magic. The first is to draw it. Magic is little more than an elemental force here in the Source. I'd say it's like air over here, but the truth is that nobody knows what it is. You may notice that magic is much stronger in the Source than it is back in the home plane. Keep that in mind as you work with it. When you are going to work magic, you first have to gather the fuel for it. You have to draw the fuel supply from the magical current all around you. Everybody with me?
Okay, good. Drawing from your current is easier than you think. Remember, you all drew from it either knowingly or accidentally when you first manifested. I bet a lot of you already know how to draw. After we've discussed this, we're going to teach you some meditative exercises to help you learn how to draw at will. But as you get better, you'll find you can do it without even thinking. For most of you, it'll be that easy by the time you go back to the schoolhouse to do your studying. Captain, would you mind demonstrating?
There was no look of concentration, no mumbling of incantation. She merely extended her hand, and a bright blue ball of ice hovered in her open palm.
Now, this isn't drawing alone. I have to bind the magic to make it visible. There isn't a way to make the drawing process itself visible, but what you're looking at is hydromancy at its rawest. This is the material that I use to build a spell.
With that, she tossed the ball up in the air. It came down as a quantity of water.
Now, that was a spell. Here's where your first safety tip comes in. When you draw from the source, you're offering your being up as a magnet to pull it out. It's like fishing, and the bait is you. Raw magic is extremely powerful. If you aren't safe and controlled, and by this I mean knowing how to cut off the flow and how to bind the magic safely away from you, you risk becoming what's called a magic sink. Magical energy is like water. As soon as it spots an opening, it puts its full weight behind, flowing through it. You are that opening. If you're not careful, the weight of the current can overwhelm you. Believe me when I tell you that you don't want that. The dampener should suffice in this case, but if one of you should begin to go Nova, we've got plenty of suppressors here to take the edge off.
Our usual practice is to have the more experienced novices assist their newer peers with their training.
Both he and Stormspinner began to gesture to members of the crowd, who stepped forward to talk to their counterparts. Therese stood forward and faced Britton and Downer.
I'm still fairly new, but I've got the basics pretty well down.
The No-No crew stepped backward, folding their arms across their chests. Wavesign went to join them, but Therese grabbed his upper arm, ignoring how it soaked her to the elbow.
Come on, Ted, you need the training.
Not him.
Salamander pointed to Britton. Then he pointed to a small square of four blast barricades, 20 yards across the muddy expanse, far away from the rest of the group.
He sits in there.
Why?
Young lady, did I not just tell you that I am no longer in the mood for your bullshit right now?
Because I'm a portomancer. The gates can open up anywhere, including in the middle of this crowd. With all due respect, sir, I don't think those T-walls are going to help. I've seen my gates slice a car and a tractor in half. I don't think the concrete will make much difference.
I appreciate your respectful tone, novice, but you are rapidly becoming a fucking burr under my saddle. Now get your ass in the middle of those barricades and await instruction.
Therese moved to follow.
What the hell are you doing?
I'm helping. If those barriers can protect us, then I'll be fine. He needs somebody to talk him through the beginning part, and he'll do better if it's someone nice to him.
Damn it, Therese!
Throw me in the hole! Throw us all in the hole, or you can shoot me.
Well, that was brave of you. Thanks.
It's no big deal. Salamander's a sweetheart, actually. He's probably the one guy in this whole nasty organization who actually wants to help latent people. He puts on a show to keep things under control, but in the end, he's on your side.
Therese, he wasn't kidding. The gates can open anywhere, and they cut through anything.
I trust you.
Why?
I don't know. You seem like a good sort. Maybe it's because you stand up to both Swift and Salamander. Maybe it's because you tried to protect me back there. Maybe it's because God tells me so. I'm just going with my gut.
Call me Oscar.
I'm Therese.
He stepped through the space between the barricades into an enclosed patch of mud roughly 5 feet square.
What about Swift and the No-No crew? What does God tell you about them?
They're all good, Oscar. Swift's just trying to cope with his loss, I guess. Pyre's just a kid. He follows along. The anger is just so useless is all. I know it's a bad situation, and I know that none of us want to be here, but fighting everything, everybody, all the time? Swift isn't happy just taking his own stand. He wants everyone else to take it with him. The guy's the definition of bad influence.
I can understand where he's coming from. I was already in the army, and they didn't give me a chance once I came up latent.
Well, here's your second chance, if you believe Salamander.
Britton didn't answer, unsure if he did or didn't.
You promised yourself you'd find a way out of here. A couple of kind words and you're gonna forget that?
Therese moved to the other side of the barricade.
You ready to get started? Can you hear me okay?
Let's do this!
Have you ever drawn magic before?
It comes from feelings, emotions. I know it responded to stress when I ran. It picks up when I'm angry or sad.
That's right. Your emotions are the motor, but your brain is the steering wheel.
So, how do we steer?
You just do. You have to feel it. Visualization helps. I picture the body whole and the magic bends that way. Sometimes I have to push hard, but it works. And you also talk to the body. Tell it to knit. I don't know how to explain it. You can always try a prayer, Oscar. God never fails me when I reach out for him.
You're real religious?
I am.
I don't want to go after you about it, but I don't understand how. The church has been the biggest persecutor of us. Oh my God. I just referred to Leighton people as us.
It makes sense, I guess.
I hope I'm not offending you.
You're not, Oscar. A lot of people lose religion when they find magic, and I guess that makes sense. I know the church hasn't been a big supporter, but, I mean, hell, it's not the first time that the church has been turned to work against God's intentions. You got the Inquisition, the Crusades, clinic bombings, what have you. This is no different. God knows what's right, and so do those who really follow him.
But doesn't the very existence of magic turn some of that on its head?
Not really. But to be honest, I don't really think about it. I would never have gotten this far without my faith, Oscar. I think I would have given up a long time ago. Keeps me going. When you have something that important to you, sometimes it helps not to ask a lot of questions. Make sense?
Sure it does. So, how do we start?
You're gonna get emotional. Recall something significant from your past, an exciting event in your life, or something tragic or momentous. You're gonna do your best to channel it. You know how to reach past the dampener? Activate your emotions?
Yeah.
The dampener should keep it tight and give you the ability to shunt it back, but if you feel yourself overwhelmed, give a yell and one of the suppressors on the wall will roll it back for you. Ready?
Here goes nothing.
Britton reflected on a sad memory to help trigger the magical flow, picturing his old house. The memory intensified under the influence of his heightened senses on this side of the gate, the image of his former home as vivid as if he were standing on the sunken porch steps. He could smell his mother's baking from a kitchen window. He could feel the tide roar into him, building along with the emotion behind the dampener's barrier. He reached for it as he had outside the defac, and it flooded him with such intensity that for a moment he feared he would be unable to control it. But in the end, the dampener kept it regulated, and the gate snapped open mere inches from his face. It flashed closed again, reopening so close that he took a step backward. He focused on the air a few feet before him, and pictured the gate opening there. His muscles cramped at his effort to stem the flow, channel it, shape it to his will.
Come on, you bastard. You're mine. Obey me.
The gate rolled open right where he had wanted it to. Britton blinked. The shimmering portal had opened on his parents' house.
Whoa.
He gave the dampener rein and let his emotions slide back into the compartment. The gate vanished.
You okay? How'd it go?
It worked. Just not like I expected.
Britton focused his mind, conjuring up fresh in his mind the rooftop where he'd shot Downer. He focused on the air a few inches in front of his face, where he wanted the gate to appear. The gate opened about a foot back from that spot, but its television static surface showed the charred remains of the school's roof, and the battered remnants of the helo still on its side.
Holy shit!
Oscar, what's going on?
I think I know. Let me try one more thing.
He focused and thrust out his hands again. This time the gate opened on his barracks room in South Burlington. It stood empty, every drawer open, every item removed. The door had been taken off its hinges. Yellow tape reading, "Crime Scene, Keep Out," stretched across the doorway.
Holy crap. I can go anywhere I want with this. All I have to do is picture the place.
Oh my God, Oscar, that's amazing. What's on the other side?
Anywhere. Anywhere I want.
So what are you still doing here?
Britton instinctively jerked a hand to his chest and didn't answer.
Stormcraft is the keystone of the aromantic arsenal. To properly harness it, the sorcerer must understand the electrostatic relationship between colliding ice particles and be sensitive to the electric fields they generate in moist air. A number of elements, temperature, moisture level, particle size, and wind strength, all must be manipulated in perfect synchronicity to harness lightning to combat effective levels. This sounds complicated, and it is. But by the time you graduate from this course, you will be able to do it while airborne tracking multiple targets and without a second thought. From the introduction to Stormcraft 1, Offensive Aromantic Maneuver publication of the Supernatural Operations Corps.
Once he was sure of his control, Britton experimented on his own. He opened a gate on the logging trail where he'd abandoned the police car, stretched it 20 feet high, then shrank it to a 1-inch box. He focused on a tiny pebble. When he opened the next gate, it split the rock precisely in half. The flow was weaker, but not by much. Once Salamander was satisfied with Britton's control, he was permitted to rejoin the rest of the group. Downer was animating tiny fire elementals from a lit Zippo that one of the other enrollees was holding. She grinned as the marble-sized flames danced around her feet, boiling the mud in little patches. She smiled at Britton and Therese as they approached.
It's amazing. I could have practiced on my own forever, and it never would have come so quickly. The dampener makes all the difference in the world.
Wave Sign stood against the line of barricades, along with the rest of the No-No crew, his arms folded across his chest. He looked ridiculous to Britton, trying so earnestly to fit in with a group who wouldn't even stand next to him for fear of getting soaked.
What's his deal?
Severe control issues. Salamander says it happens sometimes. Even with the dampener, that's the best he can do. I feel bad for him, but he makes it worse for himself by hanging with that crowd.
Ted! Come on! You need this training more than anyone. The only way out is through. Come on and work with me.
Wavesign first tried to ignore her, then looked askance at the rest of the No-No crew, who ignored him. Finally, he shook his head and walked over.
Therese, just stop. Leave me alone, okay?
Ted, you keep hanging around with that crowd and you're never gonna get a handle on this.
As soon as I do, they'll just jump on me to raise the flag.
Nobody can make you do that. Being in control of your magic is one step closer to being in control of your life. Let me help you.
I'll help too.
Therese pointed at a small patch of wet mud.
Dry it out.
Wavesign shrugged and gestured. The mud splattered everywhere, as if it had been kicked.
Come on, you're not even trying. Don't show off for their sake.
Therese, this doesn't work for me. We've been through this.
Then let's go through it again. Here, look.
She took his hand.
Can you feel my current? It always starts off intense. I used to try to haul the magic back, but now I realize that all I have to do is let it go. Can you feel my current change? That's the dampener at work. You just let the tension go. Remember, it's emotions you're dealing with, so try to center yourself.
I can't. I don't know how to explain it.
Is something bugging you?
Wavesign jerked to look at him, glowering in silence.
I'm just saying, it's emotions that cause the problem here, so if you've got something on your mind, that could be the root of the issue.
Whatever, this is stupid.
You're wasting your time. It's nice of you, but I've tried with him before. He's completely committed to throwing his lot in with those idiots. I thought because we were both water sorcerers that I could get through to him, but he's young. He'd rather be cool than competent.
I don't know about that. Kids can go either way. He just needs a nudge in the right direction.
Like Swift? That a-hole has been nudged every which way since I got here. If Wavesign's anything like him, it's a lost cause.
Over Wavesign's shoulder, Swift was already being hauled out of the pillbox. He was even paler than before, shaking. He slumped in the guard's arms, pliant and passive. A soldier gestured back toward the group, and he nodded, offering no resistance as he made his way back toward the rest of the enrollees, his head down, meeting no one's eyes.
Jesus, what happened to him?
Scylla's extra creepy. You'll see her eventually when they exercise her around the yard. She gives me chills.
Who is she? Why is she in there?
Playtime's over, novice! Get your ass in gear! School starts for real now!
Britton knew better than to argue after the drubbing Fitzy had given him that morning and headed over to him. He had already forgotten Teresa's words as his mind focused on the new challenge of dealing with Fitzy's ire, but as he moved past the pillbox, he heard the panel in the doorway slide open.
Such pretty doorways, Oscar Britton. Ooh, they are beautiful.
Britton turned to answer, but the suppressor guarding the door kicked it hard, then again, and finally the panel shut. For all his show of force, the man looked terrified as he turned away.